proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. I'm your host, Aaron Broughton. Today I'd like to share with you the third part in the series called When God is Silent, a look at the Book of Esther. This material is based on an article written by Brother Howard Rothenberg, a Jewish believer, who serves with IBJM in Florida. This appeared in a recent issue for the Everlasting Nation magazine published by IBJM. If you'd like to receive a copy of the Everlasting Nation magazine, simply contact us here at IBJM at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. This article has been a blessing to me, and I'm sure it will be to you as well. On our last program, we looked at the historical conflict between Israel and the Amalekites as it resurfaced in the Book of Esther through Haman and Mordecai. Haman's scheme was working out as he set out to destroy the Jewish people in the Persian Empire. But the most important element of Haman's plot lies in the timing of his destruction. The exact day of the genocide, the 13th day of the Jewish month of Adar, was determined by the casting of the Purim or the lot. The term Purim has an ironic outcome in the story as it means to bring to nothing. Haman's proposal was made to the king when his wife Esther's true lineage was kept a secret from him. The plan was made 12 months in advance and communicated by using the famous Persian postal system in a letter to all the provinces of the Persian Empire, which said, "To destroy, to kill, and to cause all to perish, all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day." On the surface, the events show Israelites were unprepared for the sudden, brutal attack that was typical of Amalek. The true purpose of Haman's rise to power, unknown to the king, to the Jews, and even to Haman, unfolds through Mordecai's counsel to Esther after he informs her by messenger of Haman's purpose. We see in Mordecai's response and the Jewish people an implicit reference to prayer and supplication to God, as Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes. We are told that all through the empire, upon receiving the special letter of Haman's intent and plan to kill all the Jews, that there was a great mourning among the Jews and fasting and weeping and wailing, according to Esther chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. When Esther, out of concern for Mordecai, sent a messenger to find out the cause of his intense praying, she was told of Haman's purpose and was commanded to intercede for her people and to reveal her identity as a Jew. When she voiced the risk of her own life of entering uninvited to the king's inner court, Mordecai's ambition reflects again the design behind her concealment. He said, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Mordecai believed this was the divinely appointed time for Esther to reveal her Jewish identity. He also believed in the covenant promise to Abraham and the prophetic promises made by Moses that it was the Lord that would fight Amalek in each generation. Esther presented her plea to the king after a three-day period of fasting and prayer. Her saying, "If I perish, I perish," expresses her faith in God's control of events. When Esther is shown favor by the king, allowing her to enter his throne room, she follows a definite timing in her seemingly harmless request for a banquet. Inviting Haman to his first banquet, she again postpones her real plea by asking for a second banquet. So on the surface, events are conventional, and Haman is even joyful as he heads home to share his privileges given to him by Esther. But the real trajectory of Haman's career is spiraling downward and fast. The sight of Mordecai's opposing him from his position of power in the king's gate frustrates Haman to no end. At his wife's suggestion, Haman now builds some gallows so he can hang Mordecai, the Jew. I like to say, wow, we are now approaching the climax of the story as God is about to deliver the Jewish people from certain destruction. So I invite you to please join us next time as we continue our look at the Book of Esther. Now, if you'd like to hear this program again or any of our other archive programs, simply visit us at ibjm.org. Also, as we close this program, let us remember the words of Psalm 122, verse 6, which says in Hebrew, "Shalu shalom Yerushalayim." Let us pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.